Danny Lakey Late Show.
This show shall not showboat. We shall not go around big upping ourselves, patting ourselves on the back, praising ourselves. After all, self-praise is no praise. I thought I'd just go off piece for half a second to get around
Misha and Louis. Where are you going with this?
God, over the weekend, did I bloody impress? Did I impress when I went to this picnic that I was invited to? I thought, you know what? What are you told to bring? Maybe bring a couple of party pies, maybe a dip and some crackers. No. First impressions count. You never get a second chance at that, mate.
What'd you do? Like a nice platter or something? A few cheeses?
No cheeses. Platter's on the right course. Mm-hmm. I pulled out Danny Lakey's alternative fruit salad. Get around me.
Fruit salad.
Fruit salad. Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Danny Lakey's alternative fruit salad. Now, see what you're thinking there. You're operating at a very low frequency, Shuey Louie, with your fruit salad ideas. I'm thinking you're imagining a watermelon cubed, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe some watermelon pineapple, maybe.
Yeah, these are all standard fruit salad materials.
Rock melon if you're really branching out.
Yeah, I think you'd max out at a passion fruit seed glaze over the top. I think that's where you draw the line.
Are you calling me basic with my fruit salad choice?
Look, I think you're a little bit basic when it comes to fruit salads, and most people are. Danny Lakey's alternative fruit salad. Let me run you through my fruit salad ingredients that I brought to the Easter picnic over the weekend that impressed the pants off people. Quince. Bought myself a quince.
Like a quince paste.
No, not a quince paste, mate. A quince. It's like a yellow sort of consistency of an apple sort of thing. You got to like carve it up and you chop it up in nice little fine cubes.
You're carving it up?
Mate, quince was the base. Quince was my watermelon. This wasn't like some sort of garnish. I had pomegranate, of course. Cracked a big old ripe old pomegranate, the jewelry fruit, all across it. Now you got your yellows, you got your reds. Kiwi berries. Now we talked about the kiwi berries before. This is a hybrid of a kiwi fruit and a strawberry.
The baby ones.
Miniature, bite-sized kiwi berries in the fruit salad. God, if people weren't interested before, they are now. They go, what is this? What is this? This isn't a fruit salad, is it? I said, damn straight, it's a fruit salad. It's like his alternative fruit salad.
It sounds like a fancy dessert that you'd get at a high-class restaurant.
Yeah.
This is where you're going with your fruit salad. I'm not happy with it, to be honest.
These thoughts were echoed at the picnic. And here's the big kicker. Custard apple.
Excuse me?
I'm talking a quince, pomegranate, kiwi berry, custard apple fruit salad with a passion fruit glaze. People's minds were blown.
No. You've got it all wrong. A fruit salad is meant to be your classics, like your watermelon, your pineapple, rock melon if you're branching out, maybe some strawberries.
Like, not in my world, mate.
No,
this is a high quality show. This is for the free thinkers of the world. This is for the people that refuse to dance everyone else's dance.
Did it taste any good?
Tasted great, mate.
Thank you, Jeff.
Tasted great.
This is,
you're like a child. Where just because you've never seen the food before, all of a sudden you don't trust the taste. The custard apple, let me tell you, if you've never tasted a custard apple and you think, oh, was it just an apple filled with custard? May as well be. That's the kind of taste that it was rocking at the fruit salad.
One?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Ripe as the day you were born, Shuey Louie.
See, people were giving you like the sympathy, like, oh, you know, doesn't quite know how to mix his fruits.
No chance, mate. You simpletons can butt out of this one because I want the free thinkers on 131060 because I want more. I want more alternative fruit ideas, my alternative fruit salad ideas. I want to invite you to the Alternative Fruit Club.
Some fruits get people talking, and that's just what we'll do. Call the show and Lakey's Alternative Fruit Club will welcome you.
Alternative fruits on 131060 that I can add to my alternative fruit salad because clearly I don't have the working peers around me to support me on this.
Because that's not what fruit salads are for. Keep your quince for a cheese platter or something.
You know what I'm feeling? I'm feeling a couple of persimmon calls. I'm sure there'll be a dragon fruit caller on 131060. People who like to think outside the box of the fruit salad world. People who are on board with this. Alternative fruits for an alternative fruit salad. Taking the ideas on the Alternative Fruit Salad Club next.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Welcome to Danny Lakey's Alternative Fruit Club.
Some fruits get people talking, and that's just what we'll do. Call the show and Lakey's Alternative Fruit Club will welcome you.
I had a taste of the high life over the weekend, and now I know how Da Vinci felt. Back in his day, way before his time, when I rocked up to the Easter picnic over the weekend bringing Danny Lakey's alternative fruit salad featuring quince, pomegranate, kiwi berries and custard apple.
Can you not compare yourself to Da Vinci
You
made a fruit salad.
A very alternative fruit salad at that. And I want more. I want to build upon this. I won't rest on my laurels thinking, yeah, mate, you did one alternative fruit salad once upon a time. You think you're going to go down in the annals of time, the fruit salad history books? No, 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 not yet. Got to sort of branch out a little bit, and I'm sure there are some people thinking on a higher level, unlike Shuey Louie and producer Jack, who would just suffice with cubes of pineapple.
Bits of watermelon. You didn't have pineapple in your alternative salad.
I've had too many pineapples in my day, Shuey Louie. It's time to evolve as a species.
I get really mad when they have those green melons in the salad.
No,
the honeydew?
They're not melons.
I will say no, those are divine.
Yeah, they can be very hit and miss, and they divide great friendships, much like we're seeing upon us right now.
I just pointed at Jack with passion.
131060, Adam in Hobart, you're a free thinker. You're a guy who runs your own race. What's your alternative fruit that I can add to my fruit salad?
Mate, the humble old fig.
And it is. You're so right. It's humble. It's something that doesn't make a song and a dance. It sits patiently there at the greengrocer's, waiting to be picked. It's not saying, look at me, like the big shiny Granny Smiths at the front of the store. It's very content. It's very secure in itself.
The fig is...
True and correct. Mm.
The fig's a very acquired taste, though. You know, it's like an olive. I don't think it's for any fruit salad, to be honest.
It adds texture.
Yeah, but if you take a fig and you put it on a low heat in the oven over a couple of hours and all the sugars crystallise to the top, and then for the next day on top of a fruit salad, you cannot beat it.
What's that we hear? Shuey Louie's mind being blown because she can't handle such a complex fruit salad instruction.
Adam is passionate about the fig.
This is the kind of people that we want. Lisa in Warragul, what can I add to my fruit salad?
Blackberries.
Oh, yeah. I'm a berry man, and as I graze here on a humble raspberry...
I think the raspberries, because you've already got pomegranate, the black would look good.
So true. So true.
Yeah, I'm a girl of colours, so I'll give you that one, but I do... Also, don't think that blackberries, they're a bit too messy for a fruit salad.
What are you talking about, too messy for a fruit salad? You can hear, you know when like politicians are on the back foot and they don't know what their policy is anymore and they start just plucking words. I think it's too messy for a fruit salad. That's actually what it is. That's the problem with that one. No problem with it, Lisa. Welcome for a fruit salad at mine anytime. Jasmine on the Gold Coast, the Jazz Cat, Hazmat Jazz Cat, saxophone at the Jazz Club. What's your alternative fruit salad?
Black Sapote.
Whoa.
Excuse me, that sounds like a...
It sounds like someone producer Jack would bring home on a Friday night,
yeah,
good old
like
Black Sapote.
An illicit drug, maybe?
What is the Black Sapote? It's similar, it's in the Persimmon family, isn't it?
It tastes like black, not black, it tastes like chocolate pudding.
Wow. This is a big call. Now this is a real big call.
You can get it in cans. They make ice cream out of it. It's really popular up there.
Yep. Good old Black Sapote. I'm more than open to that. Why are you? What do you put? Why are you sticking your nose up?
Take your Sapote and put
it. What's not to love? So chocolate pudding fruit.
No, that doesn't fit with any of the other alternative fruits you've got.
I can see here Black Sapote. Ah, yes, the Diospyrus nigra, the Black Sapote, species of Persimmon. Yeah, I was right. There we go. The chocolate pudding fruit. Yeah, it's good. Famous in eastern Mexico and mostly the Caribbean. Sure do. Corey in Coffs Harbour. Wrap this up on 131060. Now we're really cooking with alternative fruit. What you got?
Mate, if you want something that's really going to fire up your fruit salad, it's got to be Monsterio Delicio, mate.
What?
You ask 10 people what this fruit is, and you might be lucky if one of them knows what it is. It's just delicious. It tastes like fruit salad just all by itself. It's absolutely sensational.
Wow. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Monsterio Delicioso is actually poisonous if not cooked correctly?
Well, you don't have to cook it. You've just got to let it ripen correctly, and you've got to not eat the little black bits in between each sort of, like, the little cubes.
Corey, imagine bringing this to a picnic, and you could potentially murder everyone with your fruit choice.
Well, me and Dad used to sit down and eat it, like, heaps of it, and I never died.
Yeah.
I got, like, a little bit of a tingle on the tongue once, and that was about it.
It's a man who likes to play Russian roulette with his fruit salad. That's the kind of man that we're expecting. Monsterio Deliciosa. Yes, it's a fruit. Sounds like a Harry Potter spell as well. Love the alternative fruit salad call.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Well, how's this for a bit of news? Bit of breaking news. Canadian woman fined for not holding escalator handrail.
What?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
It's one of these petty fines, isn't it? It's one of these ridiculous fines. A police officer punched drunk with power, I'd say. Canadian woman fined for failing to hold onto an escalator handrail in 2009 has finally reached the Supreme Court in her search for justice.
In 2009, that's 10 years ago.
It's at least 10 years ago, Shuey Louie. This is something where the ladies just said, you know what, I'm going to fight this all the way to the top.
I would do the same. Girl power. Preach it to the... What's that phrase? creature to the men?
Bella Cassoyne was using the subway near Montreal in 2009 when a police officer told her to respect a warning sign saying, "Caution, hold the handrail." She argued with the officer that the pictogram was advice rather than law, but the officer didn't see it that way and promptly handcuffed her, detained her for half an hour and slapped her with a $100 fine for failing to take advantage of escalator safety features.
It's like seeing a sign that says no walking and then walking, but it just means like no walking without the green man. I'm sorry, am I making sense to that?
Do you want to go out, grab a coffee and come back for the next half an hour?
Finally.
Those handrails are disgusting.
Well, yeah. I agree. No, I wouldn't touch them. No, I'm also someone who likes to live life on the edge. I think that's one of the things that our show possesses. This is a couple of thrill seekers here, and we're definitely siding with the lady on this one. But you'd be surprised, Jack and Shuey Louie, how many people you'll see. Next time you go on an escalator, see how many people are scared. They just want to play within the rules, and they make sure that they hold on for that escalator handrail for dear life, that black rubbery grip pad. Most of them will hold on to that bad boy. There's only a couple of us are living on the edge. I always live on the edge. I'm going freestyle on the handrail. When I buy shoes, don't even ask to try them on.
No, you don't.
I'm a 42 European. Deal with it.
No, that's not a thing. You've got to try them on.
No, I'm living life on the edge, guys.
Actually look like socks, though. They're not the right size.
It's a fair call, Jack.
If they're not the right size, I'll wear them in. I don't have time to be trying on the shoes. This is the kind of activity that I'm doing. Day in, day out. Risky behaviour. Back when I used to have a car, start the ignition before I put on my seatbelt.
Well,
I'm a bad guy. I like that. That's just what happens. 131060. Are you living life on the edge?
Do you like to live life on the edge?
I'm living life on the edge at the moment because I got the new XS Max iPhone and I don't have a case.
Jesus Christ.
And I'm going on 6 months. Only one little crack, but I'm still not getting a case.
You just need to settle down out there.
Learn from me. I dropped mine the other day. Big crack.
Yeah. I mean, these are a couple of people who are living on the edge. That's the thing. Sometimes skydivers, the parachutes fail. Doesn't stop them skydiving another time if the second one goes off.
Sometimes I will get a really hot coffee and sip it without knowing if it's hot or not.
Oh, you won't do a test sip?
No.
You'll just go right in?
Every time it burns my tongue, so I don't know why I keep doing it, but I'm living up on the edge.
This is someone who has no regards for the rules and their safety. A first gulp on a coffee that hasn't been tested for temperature. It's madness. It's ludicrous. It's what this show's about. 131060. How are you living life on the edge? Are you going freestyle on the escalator? You're taking the coffee gulps without a test sip first. You're buying shoes without trying them on. Calls on next.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Anyone else out there living life on the edge? Everything
you say to me. Do you like to live life on the edge?
Some of us are just born that way. Some of us just had a rough childhood. No regard for our own safety in this matter. Take the lady in Canada, for example. 10 years after getting fined for not holding onto the handrail going down an escalator and being fined by a policeman $100, she's finally got it to the Supreme Court. This is a lady who, yes, has a penchant for justice. Yes, she's not going to be slapped with the hard hand of the law. She's also willing to freestyle an escalator. One of the riskiest moves you can do in society to this day and age.
I can't believe she's fined with that. When I walk down the escalator, I'm holding right on.
Yeah.
Like getting that whole thing, just rubbing it up and down.
Well, you would be, but you're one of those... Come on, Chewy. You're one of those people, though, that, you know, you may play a little safer on the escalator, but when it comes to coffees, all hell breaks loose. I've seen you take massive first gulps. No regard for the temperature of the coffee.
And most often it'll burn my tongue. I'm still doing it.
Well, you're not pre-sipping. Yeah, you are living life on the edge. I've lived life on the edge. I've been buying shoes for years. I know my size. Don't need to try them on.
I won't let you get
away. Don't need to sit down on that little plush cushion and try on my shoes. Wiggle your big toe for me. Shush, lady at athlete's foot. I know my foot better than you know it.
No, I won't give you that one.
Producer Jack, he's been living life on the edge, rocking an iPhone without a case for the last 6 months. High-grade iPhone as well. One of the best money can get. That's just the kind of guy he is.
Bad dog.
Bethany and Bathurst, you're a fellow rebel without a cause living life on the edge, I'm assuming.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm a bit scared, though.
Interesting. What is it?
I've been driving for the past hour with my fuel light on.
Oh, I used to always do that in Stefano.
Because I'm not in town yet. So, like, I need to keep going, right? Because there's no fuel, but my light's been on for the past hour. But I'm petrified.
What I'm hearing here is someone who hasn't chosen to be in this situation. They're not brazenly going around just no regards for their own safety. They're living on the edge. This is like someone who's had to jump out of a plane because the plane has malfunctioned and they've had no choice. But they wouldn't go skydiving as a 21st birthday present. Hey, rock it, brave girl. When I think of Brando in Brisbane, I'm thinking bad dude with a rad attitude. Hello, Brandon.
Oh, hey, buddy. How you going?
Pretty good.
Yes, I'm also a, I'm a fellow no-hand escalator rider, but I also, any elevator I will see, you know, just any elevator anywhere I'll be in a, you know, building, any elevator I'll see that'll just be closing, you know, it probably about, you know, 15 centimetres, 10 centimetres, as it's getting closer to close, I'll quickly chuck my hand in, just quickly down the middle, no regards for my hand at all, or arm, just whoa, bang, and if a door opens up, I'll be happy as Larry, and I'll walk straight in.
You sound like the Karate Kid. It's just the menu going, whoa.
Yeah.
It's a miracle that you've still got both your hands on you, to be honest, because a man who's been doing this his whole life. There is a rumour, there's a small rumour going around in the elevator industry that if you put your hand in with less than 4 centimetres to go, laser can't pick him up in time.
Exactly, that's right. I've come close a few times, but every single time so far, the doors are open for me, so I'm happy.
Look, Brando, it's a tough move. It's a real badass attitude you've got. We can only pray that Brando manages to get to the 15th floor and doesn't leave his hand down at the ground level for as long as he lives. Louise, wrap this up in Melbourne on 131060. Are you living life on the edge?
Well, I'm not sure that I am, but I probably reckon a few Melburnians are with the law of it's illegal to wear pink coloured pants on a Sunday afternoon.
Does this fall into a category of just very old, outdated laws that have just never been sort of edited up, but it still lives on today?
It still lives on today.
Why?
I think it goes for Saturday as well.
Why pink? Like, why get rid of that colour?
Very offensive in the 1800s, Shuey Louie. You can't have a man walking around.
From the 1800s?
Well, you can't have a man walking around in pink pants in Melbourne in the 1800s. Probably
like
the 1900s, actually.
Very Melbourne now, though. I say wear those pink pants all the time.
It's not a rebel's
wear. I reckon.
Thanks, Louise.
On a Sunday, thanks.
I had no idea how many badass attitude people there were listening to this show.
We've got a lot of bad dogs.
It is the Danny Lakey Late Show coming up after 8:30. A big secret that could blow KFC wide open.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Something a little bit different here. We don't usually do something like this on the show. Usually it's all above board. Can I just say I've never seen producer Jack so ghostly white in all my life. He's not happy about this out there. Shuey Lou, you're unaware of what this is. You know there's some sort of secret. You're out of the loop at this stage, and let me just walk you through an email that myself and producer Jack, we both got this same email today.
Should we be doing this? I'm scared.
Well, look, we may not. It's hard to tell at this point. Me and producer Jack, we both got this email from a certain PR representative of a certain fast food company, that being KFC. Now, these are...
Oh my God, I love Wicked Wings!
Yeah, KFC is good. Usually we receive these press releases, usually we receive a lot of information. A lot of the time it's embargoed, which means that you can't talk about it for a certain time. A lot of the time it's confidential. A lot of the time it's just out of good faith that you get these things and you're not really supposed to share it. That's what this category is. Very murky line whether legally I'm allowed to say what I'm considering saying right now. There's a KFC secret menu. Yeah, is a
like meals we don't know.
Meals we don't know. Things that you couldn't even concoct in your own mind and go and order at KFC unless you've got this certain hack on the app.
Well, you have to tell us what they are.
Anyone can hack into this app, and these are the sort of things I'm talking. You can score yourself a Zinger Chipster.
What?
Yeah, Zinger Explain Chipster. It. It's a Zinger Burger. Well, it's a Zinger Wrap with chips in the wrap.
Oh my God, that's
Zinger
genius.
Chipster. Yeah, there's a slider burger. With all the wrap ingredients made into a burger. There's a new Kentucky snack pack. Top secret ingredients in the Kentucky snack pack for $4.95. This is the one I like, and you definitely couldn't concoct this. A bee's churger. Which is like a cheeseburger, but it's turned upside down. So they literally serve you a cheeseburger, but the buns are the other way round.
Like
so the top
out.
Is inside and the bottom is outside, and that's where your hands are touch. Bee's churger. Fantastic.
It's squishier on the inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
The bee's churger will set you back $6.95. The great thing is anyone can have this bee's churger. I'm not sure, though, if I'm allowed to sort of tell this information or you've got to work it out for yourself. Now, what we decided to do, I'm not going to stick my neck out here and put my reputation on the line and maybe speak out of schools against saying KFC did in good faith to send me the little secret hack. 131060. If we can get 21 phone calls on the board right now, we've got 21 phone lines. If they can all fill up within the minute, I'll explain how you can order a bee's churger. Because
I really want one.
I felt like I met my son.
Because unless 21 people show interest, at least
we're going to get more than 21. Everyone loves KFC.
Well, don't be so sure. I'm not sure. Maybe producer Jack isn't happy out there.
Oh,
this was the deal, that if we can show that enough people are interested and that the phone lines light up, I can tell you that we've only got 9, 10, 11 phone lines going at the moment.
Come on, Bruce.
50% full.
Oh, there's Karen.
We have to fill up within the 60 seconds.
Oh, my God. We're nearly on. Come on. Two more.
Yeah, we're having a little bit of trouble in New South Wales, I can see here. There's only 20 seconds left on the 60-second countdown timer. We may not.
I need the snack cheese.
Be able
chicken
to.
Thing.
It's interesting now that New South Wales have filled up. Victoria, a couple of phone lines.
Oh, my God.
Come
on.
Off. We need a full board.
I need this chip burger.
We need one more person for Victoria.
You're joking. Come on, guys. Oh, no.
It doesn't look like it's happening.
No.
It's not going to happen.
No.
This is fine.
We need one more.
This is fine. Because, to be honest, I don't want to stick my neck out if 21 people...
Oh, God! Oh, Australia!
Didn't get a full board at any time, did we?
You have to tell us. That's like saying to someone, I know something, but I can't tell you. That is what you're doing right now.
I'm not going to stick my neck out.
Jack, I'm putting my foot down. We have to tell. Please.
What do you think, producer Jack?
I think we should tell.
Yes, give me the chicken burger.
There
is a lot of interest. We've definitely had more than 21 people ring up, just haven't had 21 people ring up at the same time.
Karen's called 8 times. She's that interested.
Karen is very, very interested. All right, guys, I'll tell you how. Yes! I'll get you another secret. This is what you do. You download the KFC app. You put your thumb at the top of the screen and very, very, very slowly, can't stress enough how important it is, very, very, very slowly, move your thumb down the screen. After about 10 seconds, the phone will vibrate.
What?
You then get to click on the Colonel's face that will appear. If you do click on the Colonel's face, it will reveal to you the secret menu where you can purchase yourself a Bee's Churger, a Zinger Chipster, a Slider Burger, a Kentucky Snack Pack, all between the prices of $4.95 and $6.95. Huge!
And do you have to show that to the kind people at KFC behind the counters?
You can order it. You just order it from your app and they'll deliver it. Bee's Churger at your door.
Let's get it right now.
We will put a little demo on the Danny Lakey Late Show's Instagram page, so you can check it there. Danny Lakey Late Show. KFC. I'm sorry if I wasn't supposed to spill those beans.
I don't think you were.
That's it. You give me a secret menu. I'll tell the country, Shuey Louie.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Have your gasp ready, Shuey Louie. Woman wakes up after 27-year coma. It's big news in the coma world. 27 years is unheard of.
How does that even happen? Like, you're asleep for 27 years and then you just wake up.
Great question.
Do they not take them off life support?
No. I think that you can... This is the thing. I'm not the coma expert. I have very little knowledge when it comes to comas. But from what I gather... They're in a state of unconsciousness.
They don't need to be on life support. It's just like they're just there.
Well, I think some are being kept alive as well. I think it's more to do with the brain rather than the lungs. Oh, God, I'm no doctor. I'm no medical
Sorry,
expert.
I asked you questions you didn't know.
You're pushing me in a deep end where I don't know where to swim, Shuey Louie. But this story is incredible. A woman has regained full consciousness after being in a coma for 27 years, much to the joy of her son. Now, Manira Abdullah from the UAE was just 32 years old when a school bus collided with the car she'd been travelling home in with her then 4-year-old son, Omar. Little Omar escaped the horrific crash with just a bruise to his head, with his mother hugging him protectively just before the impact. However, Manira, the mother, was left comatose with a brain injury, leading doctors to believe she'd never again regain full consciousness. Despite this devastatingly sad diagnosis, Omar never gave up hope that his mother would one day wake up. A few days ago, as Omar was sleeping by her bedside, he was awoken to the sound of someone calling his name. It was her. She was calling his name. He was flying with joy. For years, he's dreamt of this moment. And his name was the first thing she said. Ever since then, she's come on leaps and bounds, being more aware of her surroundings and can now hold a conversation and recite prayers.
That's incredible.
Huge.
The human brain, like...
Huge. Huge. Yeah, Manu. Yeah, very well. Very appropriate applause for Munira Abdullah. How happy must Omar be as well? What a trip. Waking up after 27 years, by the way, as well.
You wouldn't know what a cell phone was, what anything is.
No.
TV? No, that was wrong.
I think she just would have been grasping the TV. I mean, was she aware? Did it feel like a 27-year nap for her? I just don't know. You know what I've got? I've got coma questions.
Yeah, me too.
And on 131060, have you been in a coma, I guess?
Were you in a coma? Were you in a coma?
I'm not expecting a big 27-year-y. Maybe a day or two? Did you wake up?
Well, is there the shortest amount of time?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, asking questions you don't know. You're not the doctor.
We need a coma expert.
We do.
Someone who's been there, done that, got the T-shirt. Does it just feel like a dream? Because you see the movies and even documentaries where people are like holding onto their hands and talking to them. Yeah. And you're like, you know, but be strength, be strong. Do you hear that?
And what's it like? You know, like, are you just, is it just a big dream?
Who knows?
Someone needs to call now.
It's a long shot because it's late at night. And I don't know how many people are come back from the comas. But if you are out there, 131060, we'll try to get you on next. No one ringing up, so you've all been in a coma for the last 2.5 hours listening to you lot do Jesus play some more music. No coma jokes.
Or being like, I've been in a food coma.
No!
Yeah, we all have, mate.
No
we
coma
all
jokes.
Have, Bill.
No coma jokes, Bill. 131060, have you been in a coma? Can you enlighten us on this miracle that is waking from the coma? Calls on next.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Were you in a coma? Were you in a coma?
So many questions, so little time regarding the comas. Me and Shuey Louie paddling around at the deep end without any life vests regarding the coma.
I don't even think we answered anything correctly. We just kind of wish-washed around every question.
If anything, we raise more questions than the answers that we hope to get. Michael in Sydney, you have been in a coma for 2.5 weeks before.
Yeah, quite almost 3 weeks, that's right. I was put into an induced coma.
Right.
What that means is they put you into a coma for medical purposes. I was in an accident and had too much trauma to my skull. Pretty surreal experience. I think you kind of wake up feeling like you've had a general anaesthetic, being put to sleep. But you do wake up quite confused and a bit dazed. And
is there any concept, Michael, of time that's passed?
You read my mind.
Does it literally feel like you closed your eyes and you woke up, or do you think that it felt, oh, geez, that was quite the long kip that I had?
When you start, like, having a bit of a look on Facebook and seeing what's happened in the last 2 weeks, looking on the news feeds, you kind of, like, it's a strange feeling, like, with that time just all gone straight past you. You know, you've been laying there asleep. It is what it is. I don't know if it was life changing, but it probably was because I'm still alive. But
so you physically don't feel like time's passed, though. Like for you, it literally just felt like a really long nap. Apart from the whole seeing Facebook and stuff.
Yeah,
wow.
It just felt like a really long nap, and I just remember the bang when I was in this accident. It was quite a big impact, and I don't remember anything from there, obviously, until waking up. So it's just a strange feeling. I can't quite describe it, but it is a bit of an
surreal.
Eerie feeling to know you've been put to sleep for that long and then they've woken you back up. So,
very trippy.
Rapunzel.
Very trippy.
No way.
For what? I don't remember any of the Disney princesses getting into a coma, Shuey Louie. Oh, Snow White, she was asleep for a while, wasn't she? I don't think it was an induced coma, though. I think it was a Wicked Witch spell. Jesse in Monbar. You were in a coma for 3 days.
Yeah, I had a motorbike accident when I was 14. Yeah, I was in a induced coma for 3 days.
You know when you see in the movies where people are talking to them, like, oh, stay strong if you can hear me, all of that kind of thing, you know, we need you, Jesse. Did you hear any of that? Do you have any recollections of that at all, or anyone sort of touching your hand or the doctors or anything?
No, literally, I just remember hitting dirt, and then I felt I could see a glimpse in the helicopter because I had to get flown to hospital. But yeah, and then got put in a induced coma. And when they wake you up,
is it confusion, scaredness?
Yeah, it was
a puzzle.
it was like waking up from a huge deep sleep, and it was super weird. He'd be asking you questions. Pretty overwhelming.
So it sort of sounds like the general thought is that it just literally feels like a long sleep, and you don't really grasp the concept of how long you've been out.
You can't remember going to sleep in the first place as well.
Yeah, that's it, pretty much.
The human body is an amazing thing. The human brain is an amazing thing. We had heaps of calls, by the way. Of course, you know, you can't get to all the coma calls, can you? That's the thing. Good calls, though.
The Danny Lakey Late Show. Dear Danny Lakey.
Received one a couple of nights ago, and it will be voiced by producer Jack, because the person who wrote it is a male. He's asked to remain anonymous. We did ask him to come on the show, but he thought, nah, just play it out between you three and the listeners, I think. I don't want to give away my turf. I'm onto something quite good. Quite an interesting Dear Danny Lakey that he wrote. Voiced by producer Jack, by an anonymous guy. Here it is.
Dear Danny Lakey, I've been seeing my girlfriend for a few months now, and things are getting pretty serious. But there is just one thing I can't deal with. Every morning she wakes up and spends at least an hour and a half to 2 hours doing her makeup. We can never just wake up and cuddle or chat in the mornings because she's so worried about putting her makeup on. I don't even care if she has makeup on or not. Makes no difference to me, but it's pretty much at the point that she doesn't want to ever be seen by me without her makeup on. I've tried to explain to her my feelings on this, but it's still something that's happening, and I really think this is going to affect our relationship moving forward. I need your help, Lakey. What should I do? Lol.
That is so annoying.
What, the Jack's voice?
No, not Jack's voice. the bloody predicament that this guy's in. I get it, your body, your choice, and whatever, but oh, it's so frustrating. See, when dating someone, you clearly are dating them for their natural appearance.
Yeah, but it makes me feel sad because she's clearly very self-conscious and sensitive.
I can see that.
She feels like she needs to put makeup on. She can't just be natural. Guys, from your point of view, don't you think that girls probably look better with less makeup, all natural?
Yeah, I mean, I can speak from experience. There's this chick that I'm seeing. She's very similar to this, actually. She's actually very, very similar to this. And I've told her many times, you look better without makeup on. You dead set. You look purer. Like, I'm not saying you put too much makeup on or you don't look good or whatever, but dead set, as you sort of near the end of the day and the makeup sort of half coming off, there's these cute little freckles and your skin dead set looks like it's glowing more. But it's very hard to tell someone that when they're not in that mindset.
Yeah, but then also there's probably the thing, you know how it's always the thing where guys go, oh, I took home a 10 and woke up and she was a 4 because her makeup comes off, and that's probably stuck with this poor girl that she thinks she looks terrible without makeup, whereas, you know, all natural.
Is there the magic words that you can say? I almost feel like I'm in this exact guy's boat because I've said things as well and she just shuns it. Well, she won't even look. I'm like,
how
seriously.
How have you said it?
I said, I love you much more without makeup on. You look great. You've got great skin. What are you talking about?
That's kind of the only way you can say it.
Yeah, I know, but they shun it.
It's a personal thing. Like, she needs to feel comfortable in her own skin to be able to not wear the makeup all the time around you.
Is it just a matter of time, maybe?
You'd really hope they finally
can have the confidence to, you know, do a no makeup appearance around you.
Well, you'd hope so, because I feel like if you're at kind of 6 months and you still have to wear makeup around the person, that's more of a, you're probably not that comfortable with that person, and then you should maybe be having a chat like, if I'm not comfortable around you, then is this really something that we should be in?
I reckon there's heaps of people who can weigh in on this. So the people that, we all know someone who wears a lot of makeup all the time and is like, no, I can't leave the house without my makeup on. And they genuinely think I'm much better without the makeup and I'm not worth as much with the naked face. Maybe we can get your aspect if you want to come on the air and be Brad and share your story as well. Have you found yourself in this predicament as a boyfriend before? Just be like, babe, stop with the makeup. You're gorgeous.
Get that foundation off, girl.
Seriously.
Get rid of the lippy. Get rid of the liner.
And maybe a woman who's sort of settled down and you can see back your younger self who used to do that. And maybe there's some advice for the guy who can go about broaching the topic, and maybe for the chick as well. I don't know. 131060, anyone who wants to weigh in on this, Dear Danny Lakey. Chick is wearing makeup all the time. It's starting to affect the relationship. She can't be around her boyfriend without even having the makeup on. What does he do? What does she do? Calls on next.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
Right now we received a Dear Danny Lakey. This is from a bloke who's been dating this chick for about 6 months. She's too afraid to wear makeup around him. To not wear makeup around him. I mean, there's never more of a direct lesson understanding that everyone's fighting their own battle. until you're a bloke who's just staring at your girlfriend or your new squeeze or your hookup or whatever, who in your eyes is like a solid 11 out of 10, but you still see a chink in their armour where they're a little self-conscious about their appearance and they need like a small bit of acrylic paint over their face, hiding who they truly are. No more of a direct lesson to learn that about, shit, yeah, God. I look at her and she's just this hot girl who I could never achieve. Everyone's got their little chinks in their armour and their own insecurity.
Reminds me of that scene on Bridesmaids where she wakes up in the morning and she snuck off to the bathroom to put makeup on. He's like, oh, my God, you woke up so good. And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, well, I woke up like this.
I would argue that this plays into the narrative of you're not pretty enough without makeup on, which is bull dust.
And this man's had enough of it. It's just a confidence thing. And some people are really sensitive and self-conscious, and they think that makeup is going to help. Mm.
He's tried to have the chat with her, saying, look, you look great without makeup on. I like to spoon you in the morning. Nah, she's having none of it. She's off to the bathroom, spending an hour in there just to look presentable for the day. In front of her boyfriend, Taylor in Brisbane. You got any advice? What should he and she do?
Yeah, so as someone who was bullied in high school about the way I looked and told that I'd never get a boyfriend and that kind of thing, when I did get a boyfriend, I was very self-conscious myself about the way that I looked. And basically, he just said to me at any point in the day, even like when I was going, oh my God, that was probably like the stupidest thing, you probably hate me for that or something, he'd be like, no, that was gorgeous, you know, just constantly saying to me, you know, just keep saying it. And when I felt like, you know, I felt real shit about myself, he just apparently knew that I felt that way and said it.
Well, there's a tipping point when enough compliments are constantly bombarded at you, finally something drops, you're like, you know what, maybe I could just take off a little layer of mascara here.
Yeah, I think that, and also staying over at his place staying up till late at night as well, and just not being bothered to get up in the morning and knowing that it's okay. To not get up and put the makeup on, so.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, he's listening in right now.
It's a time thing, I reckon.
Yeah, you reckon? Yeah. Everyone
takes
eventually.
Time to adjust to someone and become comfortable around
He reckons he's been gone 6 months. Maddie in Mackay, what do you reckon?
Well, I was with my partner for probably about 8 months before I was comfortable to stop wearing makeup in front of him. But we've been together now for about 8.5 years, and he hates it when I wear makeup.
Yeah.
What was the tipping point that, like, at the 8 months that you did you just feel comfortable around him, or did you feel kind of like yourself? Or
yeah, it was just a point of time where I was like, oh, you know, I don't have to. For women, I think you have to wear makeup when you go to work. It's part of being presentable to society. So for me, I thought I had to wear makeup all the time. I was, you know, a lot younger when I first got with my partner, and I just thought it was something that I had to do. But he just eventually kept saying, you know, I don't like it when you wear makeup, you know, I prefer you when you don't. And eventually I just believed him. It just was my own thing that I had to come to in my own time.
Love a good Nestle all natural look. A Nestle all natural. That's a very funny concept, the old makeup thing.
Nestle.
Imagine if, well, I don't know, I'm just throwing that in there for fun. Imagine if it was invented these days. Like, makeup wasn't a thing at all. Can you imagine? You wouldn't get makeup over the line these days, would you?
No.
Some man just creating some sort of paint that makes you look hotter. You're supposed to wear it when you go to work.
And why is it just women that wear it? Why aren't you wearing it?
God, I'd love to put a face on every morning.
You'd love a bit of concealer.
I'd like to see that.
I'd go from a soft 4 to a strong 5.
Let's do that. Next week, let's full face you up.
Okay, yeah, I'll get glammed up for a show. Sounds
perfect.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
It's time for everyone's favourite game. Who is the barnyard animal?
It's not only everyone's favourite game, it's everyone's most asked question. I mean, if you or I or producer Jack were to make a barnyard animal sound right now, it would just be like, who's that? Easy there, Piggy. Easy.
Blink.
It's not a bad one. It's more
blink.
Yeah, you got to go more snort than oink, I think. There you go.
I'm a little piggy.
Dig for another truffle, little piggy. Look, this is a classic game where we play Old MacDonald Had a Farm, and then one of us does the barnyard animal sound effect. If you can guess who did it, out of myself, producer Jack and Shuey Louie, Danny Lakey goody sack for you. No biggie.
You're dishing those out like there's no tomorrow,
You know what I'm doing? I'm offering them, but not many people are claiming them at the moment.
That's a good
difference there. The Danny Lakey goodie sacks aren't actually going down in the prize cupboard because no one's winning them. I'm trying to give them away. This is what happened last week, to give you an idea of how the barnyard animal game works.
On that farm, he had a sheep, E-I-E-I-O, with an here and an here and everywhere and
that Shuey Louie Bar and Away if I've ever heard it.
It's clearly me. I didn't quite grasp the concept of it yet.
That's an easy Danny Lakey goodie sack given away there. We're going to do five animals, which means we need five callers for five different guesses of the five different barnyard animal sound effects next.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
It's time for everyone's favourite game. Who is the barnyard animal?
Yeah, this is very exciting stuff. This is the second time we do this. Myself, producer Jack and Shuey Louie. One of us will be imitating each barnyard animal. We will do our best to try and throw you off the scent. I mean, if I were to do a barnyard animal sound effect, I don't want to give away these Danny Lakey goodie sacks too easily. I may raise my pitch from a natural Danny Lakey husky oink to more of a light-hearted Shuey Louie oink to put someone off the scent. This is the kind of thinking that one must start thinking about when playing Who's Imitating the Barnyard Animal. All in positions, Shuey Louie, myself and producer Jack, and caller number one is Dave in Airlie Beach. Hey, man.
How you doing?
Very good, thank you. So we will play Old MacDonald Had a Farm. There's going to be the first animal out of the blocks. One of us, and myself, Shuey Louie, and producer Jack, will be imitating the barnyard animal. It's up to you to guess straight away who it was. If correct, Danny Lakey goody sack for you. If not, so we'll have to bid you adieu and go on to the second animal and play out number two. Five plays in total. All right, here we go. Nice jolly jig. Nice jolly jig for
love
a prize.
It.
All right. Wonder what the first animal's going to be.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had a
rooster,
E-I-E-I-O. With an here and an there, here and there and everywhere and Old MacDonald had
Jesus.
A farm.
Who was that, Dave?
Stewie Louie.
Stewie
oh,
Louie.
Stewie. Oh,
incorrect.
Stewie Louie.
It was producer Jack. Katie from Mount Iver. You are up. You're guessing the next animal.
And on that farm he had a
dog.
E-I-E-I-O. With an here and an there. Here and there and everywhere. Old MacDonald.
Who was it, Katie, myself, producer Jack, or Stewie Louie?
Producer Jack.
Incorrect, Shuey Louie.
Yeah.
No, it's harder than it sounds. Jess from Coffs Harbour, you are up.
Had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had a
goat,
E-I-E-I-O. With an here and an there, here and there and everywhere and Old MacDonald had a
who was it, Jess in Coffs Harbour?
E-I-E-I-O. You.
Oh, yes, it was correct. Nasally toes, all right. Hold the line, Danny Lakey, goody sack for you. Bailey in Hopper's Crossing. You are next up.
E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had a
cat.
E-I-E-I-O. With an
mew.
Here and an
mew.
There. Here and
mew.
There and
mew.
Everywhere and
mew mew.
Old MacDonald.
Bailey, who was that?
Jack.
That was me. Ooh, Jack. Corey, you are last person up.
Old MacDonald.
Get ready for the final animal. Your shot at a Danny Lakey goody sack.
And on that farm he had a
baby chicken.
E-I-E-I-O. With an here and an there. Here and there and everywhere. And Old MacDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O.
Corey, who was it?
That was Louie.
It was Louie. Well done.
Thank you, Corey.
Oh, two Danny Lakey goodie sacks. Yep. Giving away the barnyard animal game.
E-I-E-I-O.
Back next week.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.
On 131060, new game alert. New game alert. Very exciting. Danny Lakey goodie sacks up for grabs right now.
Whoa, you're dishing them out.
Well, like I said, there's not too many people claiming and going the nth degree to get these Danny Lakey goodie sacks at the moment. 131060, we're going to take the first three callers right now to play this.
Just when you thought this show couldn't get stranger, we'll talk about pork pies. But here's the twist, one of us will be telling pork pies about pork pies.
Classic. So many layers to this game.
Have you ever had a pork pie?
Of course I've had a pork pie.
Are they good? I've never had a pork pie.
I was raised on pork pies. You'd love you'd love a pork pie.
Would I love a pork pie?
You would live and die for a pork pie.
Live and breathe the porky pie.
For those who don't know what we're talking about, I mean, you can see McCulls. They're a British thing. But the pork pie is pork encased in jelly, encased in pastry. It's exactly what it claims to be.
I'm going to say so.
Good fun. It's real good fun. don't knock a pork pie till you try it, Shimmy.
Okay. Louie.
From what I've heard around the traps, you'd love a pork pie.
Would I love a porky pie?
From what I heard yesterday, happening around Anzac Day, you'd love a pork pie.
Okay. Well,
what I've heard, the plans you got this weekend, I think you'd love a pork pie.
Okay, yeah, we got it.
What's going to happen is I'll read out a pork pie fact. Shuey Louie will read out a pork pie fact. And producer Jack will read out a pork pie fact. A fact about pork pies. Only thing is, one of us is telling a pork pie.
Classic.
Huge.
Classic gag.
Yeah. As long as you can guess which one is the pork pie about the pork pie, then Danny Lakey goody sack for you. It's that simple. I'm sure we've got a couple of pork pie aficionados on the lines here. Emily in Toowoomba. You're the first player up, first person ever to play pork pies about pork pies.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll read out the first fact. You've got to tell us which one is a pork pie. One of these is not true. Okay.
Okay.
My famous pork pie fact. The most famous pork pie shop is located in Devonshire, England. So let that one simmer in.
A classic gentleman's hat in the 1940s is a pork pie hat.
Boom. Interesting.
All right. The jelly in a pork pie is congealed pork stock.
Hmm. So three pork pie facts there. Should I say only two of them are actually correct? One is a pork pie. Which one do you think's the pork pie? The most famous pork pie shop is located in Devonshire, England. A classic gentleman's hat in the 1940s is called a pork pie hat. Or the jelly in a pork pie is congealed pork stock. Which one's the pork pie, Emily?
C.
C?
Yeah.
A jelly in a pork pie is congealed pork stock. Fortunately, that's correct. Mm. Yeah, that's definitely
which
correct.
Which is gross.
Well, congealed pork stock is nice jelly. Nice flavoursome jelly. Unfortunately, the most famous pork pie shop is located in Devonshire, England. Is the pork pie. The most famous pork pie shop is in Melton, in Leicester. If you call it a Melton pie, that's where they originated.
Fascinating.
You can only call it a Melton pie if it's indeed made in Melton. But it's the pork pie of the it's like champagne. It can only be in champignon. Yeah, you won't win a Danny Lakey goodie sack, but you do go into the weekend with some more pork pie knowledge, which is a win for all. Thanks, Emily. Peter in Hilltop. Hello.
Hello.
Now, three new pork pie facts. Of course, one of them is a pork pie. There is a pork pie charity run in New Zealand.
It will be illegal to carry pork pies into an airport for travel once Brexit goes ahead.
An average pork pie has less calories than a Mars bar.
One of these is a pork pie, Peter. Is there a pork pie charity run in New Zealand?
Yeah, my wife loves pork pie. I'll be in trouble if I get this wrong. Yeah.
Oh, so, Peter, the pressure's on, Pete.
I know. I think it's the airport one. It's the pork pie.
Incorrect. That's true.
Pete.
That will be true. That will be perfectly illegal to carry pork pies into an airport for travel once Brexit goes ahead.
Oh, no.
Hmm. There actually is a pork pie charity run in New Zealand as well. An average pork pie actually has twice as many calories as a Mars bar, rather than half.
They're weird, those New Zealanders.
Excuse me, Pete. Jesus, I'm just...
Casey on the Gold Coast. Pete. Hello.
Hi.
Can't give away these Danny Lakey goody sacks. Hey, girl.
Oh, hey. This is hard, Danny Lakey. This is hard.
I'm just telling a couple of pork pie facts, and interweaved in there is a pork pie. Now, three new facts. The Coles pork pie weighs 160 grams.
There is a record label called Pork Pie Records.
The first pork pie was created in 1943 by a butcher and baker who were best friends.
Cute.
Which one's the pork pie?
Maybe Pork Pie Records?
Incorrect.
No one's very good at this.
Isn't that my fault? Casey, I'm a GC.
Bugger. Thanks anyway.
Thanks, girl. No more. Danny Lakey goody sacks up for grabs. The first pork pie was created in the 5th century. So a couple of thousand years before
The old
that.
Medieval times, eh?
Medieval times for the pork pie. They love the pork pie.
The Danny Lakey Late Show.